the unsurpassed and unchanging and perfect truth is something that lives, even in 100,000 years of Calvary. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
This is the Buddha. This is the Dharma. This is the Sangha. Imagine for a moment an underground prison, a dungeon, that is made up of many rooms with separated, isolated inhabitants. It's very dark down there. There's no natural light. And it's damp and cold and uncomfortable. And everything is stone and dirt. And you can throw in rats and cockroaches too if you want. You know, let your imagination fill it out there. In these rooms are people who've been held, some of them for a very long time indeed. Some of them in complete isolation from other people and kept on pretty well a starvation diet. Some of them are wild with despair. Some of them are mad and rage. Some of them are sunk in a state of passivity, kind of torpor of despair. Some of them still have hope that they'll be released. Some of them have given up hope. Some of them have been there so long that they don't really remember what the light, natural light, the light of the sun, the light of day is like. They don't even long for it anymore, or don't think they do. They don't remember what fresh air is like. They don't know what it's like, some of them, to be clean anymore. Some of them came in much more recently, and they remember all these things. And some of them still have a strong hope that they will be released before long. The prison warden has limited powers to help. Not unlimited powers, but limited power to help these suffering, confused beings. The prison warden, you can't live in a place like that and not share some of the confusion. So one of the problems is the prison warden is a bit confused himself, and he doesn't really remember who all is in this place anymore and where its various labyrinth sections underground are and where all the corridors lead to and the like. And the whole place is rather inadequately staffed, so it seems. So some of those people buried down there are forgotten even by the warden. And that means they're in pretty deep trouble. Some of them howl and rage in their misery and their torment. And their howls can be heard sometimes quite a ways away, but it's a big place. Some of them don't ever say a word, they just sit there, sunk in misery. Clearly, the one person who can really do something about this is the warden. So the warden needs to get unconfused and find out what's going on in this place and rediscover what's there. So, I guess it's not, either this is a totally daft talk or I'm talking about a metaphor. And, you know, my conscious mind and will are the warden. My karmic inheritance is made up of all these confused and some of them very, very wretched beings, sunk in misery and confusion. How do I, as the warden, start to get some cleanliness, order, sanity, compassion into this place? First of all, I've got to come to care something about what's going on down there under my feet. So in some way I have to find out about the misery that's beneath me, that I'm living on top of. Then when I really find out about it, and really allow myself to be aware of it, then naturally I want to do something about it. There's the first noble truth right there. The first noble truth encompasses not only the suffering that's inherent in existence and the suffering that I personally carry. Also it encompasses or it implies the naturally arising wish to do something about it. Eventually one wants to do enough about it that one stirs oneself and starts moving. One finds a spiritual path and starts to follow it. And the whole meaning of this spiritual path is to get the help where it's needed. A spiritual path is an avenue for help. Remember that I said the warden has limited ability to help. The warden is not the one who can release these people. Some of them held long past the required term of payback. The warden can't release them. That release has to come from higher authorities. But the warden can bring the case of each of these individuals to the higher authorities for review. And that's the responsibility of the warden. From a Buddhist perspective, the metaphor starts to break down if we think in Western terms here. Because here's the peculiar thing. In the Western way of thinking, the higher authorities put the people in the dungeon. In the Buddhist way of thinking, the people judge themselves and put themselves in the dungeon. And it turns out that the higher authority is dying to let them out. And the warden who's sitting there in confusion is actually, through the confusion, the warden is keeping him in. This is why it's so important that when we really want to do something about the deep causes of misery within ourselves, we have to embark on a single spiritual path and follow it faithfully. Not looking to left nor right, just following the path. And whatever that path is, at the heart of it, there will be meditation, prayer. This is where the warden turns to the higher authorities for help in getting these people out. The higher authority is just waiting to be asked. It won't force itself upon the warden. Some of those people and down in the dungeon are really confused. Some of them are enraged and can't wait to get out and wreak havoc on the world in revenge for the way they think they've been treated. And the irony, of course, is that this is how they've treated themselves. They judge themselves and sent themselves there. But that moment of self-judgment happens so fast that people overlook it. Can happen in a twinkling of an eye. That hammer of self-judgment can be dropped so fast. People don't even know they've done it. And then the rage gets turned outwards. So obviously one can't just release the ones who want to wreak vengeance. Others are so sunk in the torpor of despair that if they were released, they'd just starve to death. Some of them have been away from the light so long that if they were released, they would immediately be blinded by it. So a spiritual path involves, all spiritual paths involve skillful ways of helping those who are locked in the dungeon come out gradually and come out in a kind of condition spiritually and physically that they can have a chance at success in the great wide world where there is light and air. It doesn't work to just go in there and try to pry the lid off and let them all loose, because that's just opening Pandora's box. Here, the higher authority provides the way of doing this and helps the warden, leads the warden in a way that gradually acclimatizes even the most desperate and confused back to the normal world. It turns out in this metaphor that the normal world is a world of enlightenment. Rinpoche Master used to say there's nothing special about enlightenment. It's just our natural birthright. It's a birthright of every human being. And when the enlightenment is genuine, there's no stench of holiness. Why would there be? It's just normalcy. Keeping the precepts without even being conscious of doing so, because it's one's nature to do so. Living a life of generosity and compassion because it's one's nature to do so. Not because it's a cultivation of virtue. Now we have to stretch the metaphor for a moment. Many of these beings, as I said, are in such tough shape that ordinary light would blind them. And we might even stretch it a bit and say that normal fresh air might be too much for their lungs, which have been accustomed for so long to stagnant, dank, unhealthy air. But it turns out that a warden who's willing to work hard can drill down from the surface into each one of these cells to let some light and some air in. And that's meditation. Meditation is letting some light and some air down to that spiritual need. So gradually, even the most desperate, confused need, even the most anguished need, can begin to have hope and faith revived within it. And can begin to grow accustomed to normalcy. Which is the love of the eternal. And can begin to relax. And get little glimmers of that joy. Which is beyond happiness and unhappiness. Because it is the natural brightness of Buddha nature within us. Every now and then, where there used to be screams of anguish and rage reverberating through the dungeon, every now and then there's a great big cry of hallelujah. As one of the need finally gets it fully. then that one's ready to get back up to the world and do something useful. And gradually the dungeon is emptied and the world above is repeopled with the converted forms of despair and rage and grief and torpor and pride and fear and craving. Don't underestimate, especially at this time of all time, don't underestimate the power of the training that you're undertaking. Don't underestimate what even a moment of true meditation can accomplish.